Okay, Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikbitzu Kol Yisrael El David Chevroina. Okay, before we begin Perek Yud Aleph, let us review. I just want to review with you some of the things we mentioned in the Perek Yud, the end of Perek Yud, about the sins of Shol. Pasuk Aleph. We're up to Pasuk Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Aleph. I first want to review. Just want to review very quickly some of the things that we mentioned yesterday. Some of the sins, the midrashim. What exactly were the sins of Shaul? Pesukim here are very critical of Shaul. So in the Medrash Tanchuma, it mentions. Let me review. Just know, I'm not even sure which Medrash I'm quoting from. Let me read the midrashim one at a time. Lama Mace, why did Shaul die? Bayama Shaul, Cam, you don't have this in front of you. This is a Medrash Tanchuma. Ella Lamanu, Shakosha Lashon Hara Kishvicha Stamin. Because he was Makabel Lashon Hara. Eshkrach, close it all the way, yeah. Eshkrach, okay. Thanks. He was Makabel Lashon Hara. What was Lashon Hara? Doeg Kwadomi. Doeg told Shaul that David is trying to seize the Malchus from you. And therefore Shaul was paranoid, and he killed Nov Ir HaKohanim. Because when David was running away from Shaul, he went to the Nov Ir HaKohanim, and he was starving, and they gave him the Lechem upon him. And he held the Kohen Gadol there accountable for giving David. His name was Achimelech ben Achitov. He was the Kohen of Nov Ir HaKohanim, the Kohen, the one in charge. He gave David enough from the Lechem upon him. Indeed, David was starving, and he held him accountable, and he killed out the entire Nov Ir HaKohanim. And because of this, this was one of the reasons why Shaul had this horrible death, where he was killed and he was decapitated, and the Plishtim disgraced his body and head by hanging it up in the presence of the Avodah Zarah called Dagon. So let me read to you one more time. V'lo mameis elamanu shekosh lashon hara kishvicha astam. Being mekabel lashon hara is evil as shvicha astamim. Shekola harig eino harig el nefesh achas. Someone who only murders one person. Hamisaber lashon hara harig shloisha. If you speak lashon hara, you're murdering three people. Number one, ha'imroi. The one that says it, the one that actually speaks Lashon Hara, is Chayiv Misa. He's responsible. The one that accepts it, the listener. And the one, the Hanemar, I love the one upon whom the Lashon Hara was said. Sharei Doig Omar Lashon Hara al Achimelech ben Achitov, Venerag. Shenemar, Vayomer Hamelech Mos Thomas Achimelech, Venerag Shol, Shenemar, Vayomer Shol Bimalo Esher Moal. So here, look what happened. Doig spoke Lashon Hara about Achimelech, that he gave bread to David, and because of that Lashon Hara, Achimelech was killed. And he was killed Shaloi Kedin. And therefore, Shaul was held responsible for the innocent murder, the murder of this person. So that's why in this pasuk it says that Shaul also died. Okay, what else did Shaul do? The first chait of Shaul was he did not wait for Shmuel. Shmuel told him, I'm going to come back in 7 days. There's a whole story where he told him, I want you to bring an ola, I want you to gather people, I want you to bring a carbon, and I want you to wait for me to return so we can offer the carbon together. And Shaul did not wait for Shmuel. He saw the people were on edge, they wanted to leave, they put him under a lot of pressure, and he offered the carbon, and then Shmuel arrived. And Shmuel said, what happened? Didn't I tell you that you're not allowed to bring the carbon until I arrive? You did not listen to me. And because you did not listen to me, you're not worthy of the Malchus. That was another very great Avera. Okay, what else did he do? He was Doresh El Hanesim. He went to us, bring up the spirit of Shmuel. Chazal counted as two sins. Number one, he did the Avera being Doresh El Hanesim. Number two, if you want to be Doresh El Hanesim, don't go and trouble Shmuel. You might as well go and bring up the spirit of someone else. Why specifically Shmuel Hanavi, a very holy person, that was considered to be another chait. What else did he do? He did not kill Agag. He was told to kill all of the Amalekim in the battle. Vayarav Banachal. He did not kill all of the Amalekim. He left over the king. He left over also the animals of the Amalekim. He was instructed to destroy everything. So that was also considered to be a chet. So sach hakol, there are basically five sins. Let's review. He did not wait for Shmuel to return before he offered the karbon. Number two, he was mekabel lashon har from doyik ha'adomi, that the nov ir hakohanim are conspiring against him to take away his malchus. Number three, he did not kill Agag in the battle of the animals in the battle of Amalek. And four and five, we count as two separate sins. He was Dorish of Hametz, and he brought up the spirit of Shmuel Hanavi. So those are the five sins. Why he mentions over here that he died this horrible death. Now we come to part Perik Yud Aleph Pasuk Aleph. Vayikvi vayikavsu kol yishol el David chavroina. Everyone gathered to David chavroina v'leimer saying, Hinei atzmicha uvisorcha anachnu, we are your bone and flesh. Now that's a very unusual expression, because Chazal tell us that a person has three partners: Hashem, a mother, and a father. The mother provides the basa, the red substance. The father provides the white substance, which we refer to as the bone. The bone is the etzem. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he blows the spirit into a person. So every person again has three parts: mother, father, Hashem. The father, mother is the basa, the father is the etzem, and Hashem provides the spirit. When you want to refer to a person as one of your relatives, so if it's a relative from your father, you say, you're my bones. If you want to refer to a person as a relative from the mother, you say, you're my basa v'dam, my flesh and blood. Basa v'dam means from the mother. There are psukim. I don't even know where to find this. I once heard the Dvar Torah explaining all the rayas to this concept. Go throughout Tanakh and look what people refer to a relative as a basa v'dam. I'm coming down in a moment. That's what I'm coming to. That was the only time, right? You're a relative from both the mother and the father. But generally, when a person wants to say that you're a relative from the mother, you're my basa v'dam. When you want to refer to a person as a relative from the father, you say that you're a relative from my bones. When a person is a relative from both the mother and the father, then you say etzem and basa. For example, chava. Achapam, it is only this time etzen me atzami ubasa mi besari, because Chava came from Adam Harishon. She was Adam, so to speak, gave birth to her. Think about it in that fashion. Adam gave birth to Chava. He didn't. It wasn't just a single partner. He was a double partner. He provided Chava the bones and the basar v'dam. Achapam, and what did Adam say? It's the only time in the history of the world that there will be such a thing where a person can truly say, In 100%, achapam etzem me'ad sami vasa me'besari. Here it's very interesting where they're using this seemingly not as a literal expression, but as a poetic, as a way to endear David. I guess they were afraid. They knew, it appears from the farshan that the people in Klal Yisrael, they were afraid of David for many reasons. Number one, it seems that they knew that the spirit of Ruach HaKodesh left Shaul and was transferred to David. They knew about the story that Shmuel anointed David as the king of Klal Yisrael. They knew that Shaul had sinned, the Malchus was taken away, or perhaps they knew, like we discussed yesterday, that it was never really meant to be Shaul to be a melech long term. Shaul was only meant to be a fill-in melech for a period of time, but ultimately the Malchus would go to David. That was the last pasuk we had yesterday, that the Malchus was Misavev, that very unusual word, Vayasev. It's a very powerful word, Vayasev, the last pasuk in Pasuk Gedal, the Lodarash Hashem Vayimisehu, Vayasev es Hamalucha LeDavid Ben Yisha. That's number one. Number two, after Shaul died, there was a group of people, especially the Shev Ben Yamin, that refused to accept David immediately. They first followed his son, the son of Shaul Ish Boishas. That wasn't so simple. It wasn't so simple that he should be the next ruler, and then he only lived a very short period of time, and then there was a lapse of a couple of years. So many people in Klal Yisrael were afraid that David would take revenge. Why they did not accept him immediately, if 7 years ago when he was anointed by Shmuel, immediately asking, and even after Shaul died, when the time was right that David should have been accepted as Melech immediately, there was a 5-year period of time where people were not 100% willing to accept David as Melch. They first wanted to see what would be, and perhaps accept Shaul's son Ish-Boishas as Melch. So here, what? No, Shmuel Navi long died. Shmuel died in the life before Shaul died. Shmuel was long gone. So we have over here this expression of endearment. They're telling David, David, you're one of us. You're our relative. And therefore, don't be angry at us, but instead, accept us, forgive us for not accepting you immediately, and we want to declare you as Melech. So that's one more time. Vayikavsu, kol Yisrael of David, vachavron lemor, hinei atzmecha uvesor chanachnu. They all gathered towards him. They sat in Hebron, because David was the king in Hebron for 7 years, and he was king in... And he was king in Yerushalayim for 33 years, for a grand total of 40 years. It was really 40 years and 6 months. And Hinei Atzmecha, we are your Atzmecha, your Etzem, V'sarcha, Anachnu, we are your bone and your flesh. Pasuk Beis, Gam Tmol, Gam Shalshom, yesterday and 3 days ago, Gam B'yosh Shol Melech, even when Shol was Melech, Atoy was you, Hamotzi, Vahamevi, Es Yisrael, the one that took out and brought back in Yisrael. In other words, you were Shol's right-hand man. You led the battles. You were his warrior. His chief of staff. You were the Mishnah LeMelech Kaviyachal. And therefore, it's only appropriate that you shall now take his place. You shall be his Malim Mekoimo. Vayomer Hashem Melekecha Lucha. And Hashem said to you, Atos Sire Esami, Hashem said to you that you, David, shall pasture my nation, Es Yisrael, V'ata, and you, Tien Nogid, you will be a prince, Al Ami Yisrael, upon my nation, Yisrael. Pasuk Gimel, Vayavo, called Zigne Yisrael, El Hamelech, Hevroina, they came to Hevron, Vayichros, Lechem David, Bris, Bechevron, David forged a bris with them in Hebron, Lifnei Hashem. That's an important expression for Hashem. What does that mean? Hebron was not the place where the Aron stood. It was not the place where the Mishkan was standing at this point in time. So we have to see in a few moments what that means. And Lifnei Hashem, Vayimshuchu es David LeMelech, they anointed him as king, Al Yisrael, Kedvar Hashem, B'yad Shmuel, like Hashem spoke through Shmuel. Why did David need to be anointed with as a king? He already was anointed. Shmuel already anointed him with the Shemen HaMishcha. The answer is, whenever there's a machlokes, there's a dispute, then the dispute has been resolved. The halach is you need to anoint the person again. Every time there was a king, like Shlomo HaMelech, generally speaking, a son of a king does not need to be anointed. It automatically passes from father to son. Yet we find that when Shlomo became king, he was anointed. Why? Because there was a dispute. Anytime someone contests the Malchus and there is some type of dispute and then the dispute has been resolved and one person stands victorious, that person has to be anointed as king. So there is over here a little bit of a pagan. It's a sad thing. And even though we mentioned yesterday that there is no criticism of David in the entire Sefer Divrei Hayamim, there is no open criticism. It is unfortunate that David's Malchus was tarnished from the very beginning in that he had to be anointed a second time. The anointment of Shaul of Shmuel was not sufficient. When the Ruach HaKodesh left from Shaul and was transferred to David, and Shmuel anointed David, Ach Neged Hashem Meshicho, remember when he came to Yishai, and Yishai presented all of his 7 sons, and then Hashem said, none of them, I want you to bring the next son, bring son number 8, David, and they brought David, and then automatically the oil came miraculously out of the Keren, and was applied to David, David became anointed as king. That should have been it. That should have been the inauguration of Malchus and Klal Yisrael. And yet it wasn't. David was not accepted right away. And then when he was accepted, it was only for 7 years. And then when Shaul died, he was not accepted for another 5 years. Until this point in time that we're focusing on right now. And then he had to be anointed again. We know that in everything in Tanakh, first, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Yeah.
But that's not necessarily a reflection on David. That's a reflection on the mood of the people and the fact that there was this transition.
Correct. But
therefore, there had to be a public
still
ceremony.
It's still tragic because everything follows the beginning. We all know that the koach you put into something, at least spiritually, we don't appreciate this today, but we know from Chazal that when you're dealing with very holy spiritual matters, the more the koach, the power you put, the effort you put into the beginning, the foundation, is captures of what's going to be the entire year. Look, soon as Rosh Hashanah, Simani Milsa, we do all of these bizarre things on the night of Rosh Hashanah. Why? Because this day, what happens on this day, will is the power of what's going to be for the entire year. And we want to we want to, things shall be done in a proper way. That's why we have 2 days Rosh Hashanah and Eretz Yisrael, because Shemen is Skalkel Hashir. Because it happened 1 year, they sang the wrong shir. So what's the big deal? So they said the wrong shir. Never happened to you that when you come to the Hayom Yom, so instead of saying Yom Chamishi, you said Yom Revi. Instead of saying Yom Revi, you said Yom Shlishi. Well, no one's going to ever mix up the Yom Shlishi. Everyone gets right because it's the shortest one. Right? So no one's going to miss that. No one's going to miss out on Yom Shlishi. But let's say it's Yom Revi, Sunday, Monday. Okay, now Sunday, you know, it's the first day of the week. But I would say probably the most common mistake is probably Wednesday, Thursday. You get a little confused. You don't look in the sitter the right way, so you say the wrong Yom. It never happened. You said the wrong Yom.
On a weekday,
correct. So what's the big deal? So they sang the wrong Shira. So they sang the wrong Shira. The witnesses came. They assume it's going to be a Chol. And then the witnesses come. And they declare, we saw the new moon last night. That means today is really Rosh Hashanah. And now the Kohanim say, you know what that means? It means that we sang today the wrong Shira. Now we're going to retroactively declare today to be Rosh Hashanah. So the Shira of Rosh Hashanah is different. And we already have sung the Shira of a Yom Chol. So what's the big deal? Because of this, all generations, we have to observe 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. This year it's 3 days. You know, the Israelis, 2 days already, they go out of their mind.
Yeah.
3 days, Yom Tov. This is
nothing left.
Yeah.
Could you explain to us, Rabbi, you have Shaul.
Yeah.
Shaul is, because Baruch is not happy.
Yeah.
That's it, I'm taking it away.
Yeah.
Right. Shmuel, I don't know what point in time goes and it stops. What do the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shmuel expect Klal Yisrael to do at that point? To transfer their allegiance totally from Shaul? That's it, you're gone, you've been deposed, God doesn't want you anymore.
You're asking a very good question. I don't know the answer. You're asking an excellent question. How does Klal Yisrael relate to this? When a Navi anoints, they come to Shmuel, they anoint, and they tell, we want a king. He gives them Musar, he anoints a king, and then the next day, it's the guy, by the way, guys, I made a mistake. I appointed the wrong king. This guy is no good. He's a weakling. You're asking an excellent question. So how does the average man relate to a change? Don't you expect a leader to make a strong leadership? You don't wishy-wash, what's the term? What's the term in politicians when they...
Flip-flop.
Yeah. You're asking an excellent question. It's like a flip-flop, kaviyach. Now, obviously, it's not because a shol is the chavshes, but it's a really good question. How does the average man relate to this flip-flop? Now we're going to switch.
Yeah. Like,
always reacts with a machlokes. It's a very good question. I don't know the answer, but I just want to bring out this idea. Unfortunately, the Malchus of David did suffer. Look, Yeravam, Rechavam, the Malchus was divided. Yeravam ben Nevat divided the Malchus from Shlomo's son Rechavam. So you see that, where can you trace the defect in the Malchus that there were problems? Perhaps, look at the beginning. The beginning was not a smooth beginning. There were problems on the first day, just like Rosh Hashanah, Chas Shalom, there are problems. That's not a good sign for the whole year. If there are problems in the beginning, that's not a good reflection. The fact that David needed to be anointed a second time, and here they're saying all of these flattering expressions. Why are they saying these flattering expressions? Atzmi u'besari, you are our bones and our flesh, and Hashem was always with you. The Mefarshim say this is because they realize that they were not loyal to David from the very beginning. When David was anointed as Melch, they were skeptical. They stayed away. They didn't follow him. David only had people. He had a band of people that were not, the Chasukim don't describe as being from the best type of people that originally stuck with David. And they were afraid that maybe David's going to take revenge against. That's not going to treat us well.
They didn't trust Shmuel's revenge.
They did. They did trust. Shmuel was the shofar.
But
was
the one who said David should take over for Shaul. That's basically it. But he didn't trust that.
So that's really his question. Maybe you're saying that Shmuel lost some of his... people did not follow in Shmuel because he...
His credibility,
yeah. I don't know if it says that, but it's an excellent point. It's because you expect from a strong leader stamina to be consistent.
Hashem are happy with Shaul. He made mistakes,
right?
And he would like someone else, David, to be. And if he said that,
that's very correct. But you would expect that I'm a simple person. So here's a Navi. A Navi is someone who sees the future. A Navi sees a person's weaknesses. It's true, a person has a bechira chavshes. But in the big picture of things, this is the person that's going to be the king, endure for all time. Look, David endured for all time, and David made mistakes. David and Bathsheba, David had other sins, he counted the people, he David and Bathsheba, but yet David prevailed, he remained. So why couldn't Shmuel appoint a person that would prevail despite his shortcomings? Yet no. Shmuel says Hashem has decided that Shaul is out, David is in, everyone should now shift their allegiance to the new king, and people were not quick to do so, and David knew about that, obviously, that this is a very critical pasuk. You can't make little of this, that they had to anoint David all over again. And that's not a good sign when you're dealing with the Malchus of Klal Yisrael, the Mashiach of Klal Yisrael, and from that's why perhaps we can see that later in history the Malchus was divided, and it never came back together. Ultimately, there was an agolus of Aseret HaShvatim, and then we know all the tzaras that happened from then on in with Yehuda, with Menashe and Amon, leading to the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, let's go further. Now, we have to see over here some of the Rashi. There are a lot of some very powerful things. But let's first look at the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos has some Yisodos as well. Mitzudos Pasuk Aleph, Chevrona. They all went to Chevron. Chevron was the place where David was anointed, was king for 7 years. Achar Shamolach b'Chevron al Yehuda. He was king in Chevron for 7 years. We know that Chevron is an Ori Miklat. Chevron was given to Kolev ben Yefuneh. It was not given, the city itself was not given to Kolev ben Yefuneh. He was given the suburbs of the city, but the city itself was one of the Ori Miklat that was occupied by the Levim. But it was in the territory of Yehuda. It was a general territory of Yehuda, that part of the country. And this particular city was given to the Levim to live in, yeah? The Kohanim, that's right, the Kohanim, you're right, correct. The Kohanim, not the Levim, you're right, correct. It was an Ori Miklat. It was given to the Kohanim, Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi, it was an Ori Miklat, and the Kohanim were living there. And we discussed there, or Shevet Levi, which includes, but particularly the family of Kohanim. Because a Levi is allowed to be a Tamil Mase, a Kohen came Tamil Mase. Since we discussed that, you would think that since in Hebron is the Mars Machpelah, and that's where, that's a place where there's Tumah, so you'd expect that this particular city should be given to the Levim, not to the Kohanim. They should have other cities where there's no problem of taking care of a holy burial place. So we gave different answers. There's no Tumah by Kivrei Tzadikim, which we discussed today. Our resident Kohen, here. So he said that he knows there are Tachas some kind who go. There are Minhagim where Kohanim do go. But generally, Kohanim do not go to the Ma'aretz HaMachpelah. And then we discuss why Dafka the Gun, because of the relationship between Chevron and Yerushalayim. They're twin cities. Your brother mentioned this, and you mentioned this in the email, about the twin city relationship between Eretz Yisrael and Chevron. Okay, that was a different issue. But here it says, that was Melech in Chevron. It means in the region of Chevron, the city itself, which was occupied by the Kohanim, and the suburbs, which was really the possession of Kolev ben Yefuneh, and all the other people of Shevet Yehuda that lived in that vicinity. Period. Next. Atzmecha, you are our bone and our flesh. Anachnu, we are the same. We are the same stock. Kamo kol beis Yehuda ki bnei ish echad. Anachnu, we're all part of Shevet Yehuda. We're relatives from the mother and we're relatives from the father. Beis ato hamotzi ki ilu amru lo yigdal ahavas beis Yehuda leinu ala shem molachta bohem rishayna ki gam oleinu mashalta me'oz. Don't think that we're not going to accept you because you come from a different tribe. We are going to accept you because even when Shaul, who was from Shevet Binyamin, was serving as melech, you really were calling all the shots. You were his second in command. You were there on his side. You were the one that were able to knock out Goliath. And therefore, just like we were loyal to you in the past, we are going to be loyal to you in the future. Es Yisrael, im kein olech liros es kol Yisrael. Hashem said to you that you shall be his shepherd. And a leader is a shepherd. And therefore, you shall shepherd elu ki ilu, ke elu olech liros es kol Yisrael elu. Elu ke'elu b'shav, everyone the same. Kol zikne Yisrael, asher hika b'yadam lehamlicho, everyone came, asher koyach b'yadam lehamlicho, all of the zikanim. The Mitzudas here is telling us why, specifically in Pasuk Gimel, does it say, vayavohu kol zikne Yisrael. Because it was the zikanim who have the power, the authority, to anoint and to represent the tzibur. Then the pasuk goes on to say that they forged a bris. Vayichros liyos lachem le'oyev kmo liyos lohem. I'm not sure what that word means. As an enemy? What does that word mean? Vayichros lachem David bris b'chever lufnei Hashem. Vayichros liyos lohem. What do you have in your text? Le'oyev, an enemy? I'm not sure what that means. Lefnei Hashem, lefnei Aroin Hashem ki hivu sham lefisha. So here the Mitzuda says something which is very interesting, that they brought the Aron to Chevron in order for this bris, in order to forge this bris in the presence of the Shrina. And normally, you would go, instead of bringing the Aron to you, you would go to the Aron. Like you talk about, you have a Sefer Torah and a Beis Avel. So what do? You have to, you're going to bring the Sefer Torah to the Beis Avel. It's not so simple. If you want to go bring it, you have to have a minyan three times and do all these things. Here, you'd expect that they want to go and be Koris Abris, they would go to the Aron. It's very interesting is that instead they chose to bring the Aron to Chevron in order to have the bris done in the presence of the Shechina, which rested upon the Aron. Okay. Now others learn not like that. We'll see in a moment. Maybe Rashi is going to say the Aron was not in Chevron. However, whenever a person makes a shavua, it is automatically before Hashem. Very powerful idea. Even in Golis today, a person swears, a person gives his word. It's always lifnei Hashem. Hashem is everywhere. Hashem knows what you say, and if you swear in His name, you have a responsibility to keep your word. Let's see some of the Rashi's. There's some powerful Rashi's here. Pasuk Aleph, no Pasuk Beis. Ato tira es ami. Hashem, the Klal Yisrael said to David, you have been selected by Hashem to shepherd His nation. Al ze omar David, in reference to this Pasuk here, that the people said to him, he composed Mizmar Chof Gimel, which we say on Shabbos by Sholosh Su'udos or Friday night if you have Nesach Svard. Al ze omar David, Hashem Roi, Hashem, you are my shepherd. Lo yechzar, I lack nothing. Nothing, I have everything I need. Since I'm aware that you are my shepherd, a shepherd provides the needs of the flock, of the sheep. So Hashem, you're my shepherd. I have nothing to worry about. You will always be there for me. I will lack nothing. Why did David say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are my shepherd? Because Hashem said to David, David, you are the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. So David said, no thank you. You're making me the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. The only way I can be the shepherd of Klal Yisrael is if I recognize Hashem is my shepherd. It's a very interesting concept. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a role of leadership, you have to recognize that just like you are that role for others, Hashem is your role model. A leader needs a leader. A Rebbe needs a Rebbe. A Rebbe needs a Rebbe. Every person has to have someone on top of him. When a person finds himself in a position of leadership, how does he know what to do? He looks to his leader who does the same thing for him. And who is that? That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is a very beautiful idea. Amar David Hashem Roi Lo Yechzar, you are my shepherd. Ato Oimer Li, you Hashem said to me, Ato Tireh, that I shall be the shepherd for Klal Yisrael. Ma ani yochol liros. I can't be a shepherd. How do I know what to do? How do I know how to guide, to lead the flock? Ein hatovar toli bi elo. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look to Hashem. I'm going to channel my role as shepherd to Hashem. So Hashem will be my shepherd, and from Hashem, you being my shepherd, I will expand your role to Klal Yisrael. I'll just be a conduit to Klal Yisrael. Ein hadavar toli bi ela Hashem roi lo yechzar. Hashem is my shepherd, I will lack nothing. V'gam ani lo yechzar lochem, and then I will be able to give Klal Yisrael what they need, and nothing will be missing from Klal Yisrael. The Dugma B'Shmuli gives other examples. Oz Nishbu Anshe David Lo Leimar Lo Seitzu Od Itanu B'Mulchama V'Lo Tichbes Ner Yisrael. That once there was a battle and David almost lost his life, And the people said, no longer will we allow the king to risk his life by going out to battle. We don't want the Neri Yisrael to be extinguished. Amalachim David, ki ata Neri. So when Klal Yisrael gave a compliment to David, and they said, David, you are the Ner Hashem. You are the Neri Yisrael. They gave David the most beautiful compliment that you can possibly give. They said, David, we don't want you to go to battle. It's dangerous. You may lose your life. And if you lose your life, then the Neri Yisrael will be extinguished. So incidentally, they were giving David the compliment that you, David, are the Ner Yisrael. Anyone here learn Ner Yisrael? Any Baltimore people here? You are the Ner Yisrael. So David said, you're calling me the Ner Yisrael? I don't deserve such a compliment. Hashem is the Ner Yisrael. He is the light. I will look to Hashem as the Ner Yisrael, and I will draw from that and shine it upon Klal Yisrael. It's a beautiful example.
A little bit like Moshe Rabbeinu also.
You're aware?
With the leadership role.
Yeah.
He's also reluctant, you know, also starting out as a shepherd.
That's a measure. It's a measure. Hashem tested Moshe. All of the leaders of Klal Yisrael start out as a shepherd. On the job training is to learn to be a shepherd. A shepherd, you learn about care, how to care for your flock, and people are... The needs of man are not that different than the needs of animals. Hashem will enlighten my darkness. LaHashem Avodim Yehoyada HaKoyen. In Malachim, much later point in time, he made a bris. When he renewed the bris with Hashem, he brought everyone, the Klal Yisrael, together. They should do tshuva, and he made a bris. And when it says LaHashem Pisron Lios LaHashem Avodim, that everyone shall pledge their allegiance to serve Hashem. V'gam Bein HaMelech Bein HaAm Lios Lo LaAvodim. Between the king and the people shall pledge their allegiance to the king. Lios lo lavodim, to be servants to the king. Kemishpat hamelech, like the laws of kings. Vagam hamelech lasos kichoik lavodov, lilchem milchamoisam, and the king also has to pledge he will serve his people, specifically to lead them in battle. So there is a relationship, a mutual relationship between a king and the people. The people are loyal to the king, and the king is loyal to the people to guide them, especially to serve as their role as the leader in war. That was the main role of a king in ancient times, not like today. Today, the kings don't go out and fight. They have an army that goes and fights. The commander-in-chief has no military training. Ruba de ruba. When was the last time a president... When was the last time a president, Eisenhower, he was a general, president of General Eisenhower, that's right. So not that long ago, but it's a different world today. Lefnei Hashem, ha'aloi lo hoya ha'mishkan b'chevroi. Now here is the question which Rashi is coming to address, which was addressed already by the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says that the reason why it says that the bris, this covenant that was forged between the king and the people in Hebron was Lifnei Hashem, was because they actually brought the Aron to Hebron. Not so, says Rashi. V'halo lo hoya mishkan b'chevron, elo ma'u lifnei Hashem kol mokom sho'isin t'nai. Anytime you make a condition with a Shem Hashem, a Shavua, or a korsin bris, ha'mokom sham, or you forge a bris, Hashem is there. The Shechina is there. Sham hu, bris hamokam sham hu. Dugma be Yiftach. Yiftach made a bris with the people. He was Yiftach HaGiladi. He was one of the shoftim. Lifnei Hashem b'mitzpah. It says there also Lifnei Hashem. In Mitzpah, we have no record that the Mishkan was ever in Mitzpah. At that point in time, it was probably in Shiloh. It wasn't in Mitzpah. So what then does mean that Yiftach, he went and made a treaty with the people in Mitzpah? Any time you make a shvua, a bris between the people and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, automatically the Shechina is resting there. Look, we say in Pirkei Avos, if two people learn together, the Shechina is resting. If three people, five people, 10 people, the Shechina comes anytime you want to do something L'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The dogma Umol moal b'Hashem v'kichesh b'misa. Pasuk in the Torah, a person he commits a sin, he commits a transgression b'Hashem. What does it mean by against Hashem?
Right.
Any time you do an avera, you are rebelling against Hashem. You are pushing away the Shechina. Can beforeish b'teras koyhanim. Okay, now we go to pasuk Dalet. Before we go to pasuk Dalet, let me just read to you one medrash. The medrash says. The Medrash is Medrash Tanchuma, Parsha Shemos, where we said before about the sheep. The sheep, Uvizchus ma zocha David lios haroya al shel am Yisrael. Why was David selected to be the shepherd? Elo, ena kodesh baruch hu nois and gdula adam ad she boit koi bedover katan, v'achakach hu ma'aleu l'gdula. Hashem first tests a person with a small matter. It's a very interesting concept. You can't jump into a position of leadership. You have to have training. It's a modic thing. You have to start out
like an apprentice.
You just can't become the chief rabbi of Israel. You have to start out as an assistant rabbi and the shul out in the hicks, and then you become associate rabbi, then you become the rabbi of a little shul, and then another shul. You gotta work your way up in life. You just can't jump into any position. We all know that. You can't skip steps. There are no shortcuts for greatness. No saying gedulah l'adam ad shabot ko b'dover katan v'achakachu ma'aleu l'gedulah. Shnei, for example, shnei gedolei olam nivtiku v'nimsu ne'manim, two great people, which we'll see in a moment who they were tested and were found to be faithful. V'hevion HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'gedulah, Hashem elevated them to greatness. Bodak l'david batzoin, Hashem tested David with sheep. Me also David, Chaylichon leMidbar, leHarchikon min haGazel. The test was: will he allow his sheep to graze on fields that were questionable? That was the test. David was a shepherd. It's hot day. He can just let them graze here. There's no security cameras in those days. No one will know the difference except Hashem. It's only between him and Hashem. David chose to distance the sheep from property that was questionable, which may belong to private people, which may then be gezel, and took them out into the desert where it was hefker. Shekein Eliyav, Achiv Aymalo, we know this from Eliyav. Eliyav, his brother, when David came to visit his brothers in war, David was the younger brother, and he was not part of the team, part of the Marines that went out to fight. He just came for support to bring them food and the supplies. And Eliyav was upset. What are you doing here? Almi notashta me'at hatzon hohena b'amidbar. Where did you? How were you able to leave work and come visit us here in battle? Who did you abandon the me'at son asher b'amidbar? It's a fascinating pasuk. You would not think very much of this pasuk, but the Medrash is telling us there are two key words: me'at son, a davar katan. He had a few sheep, 5-6 sheep. What's the big deal? Let them graze in someone else's field. They'll never know the difference. Who cares? No one's watching. But no, it says Asher b'Midbar. Even the few ma'atzon David was careful to take into the Midbar Makom of Hefker, they should not be nichshol in Gezel. So from this pasuk we learn that David was nizer on a davar katan when he was a shepherd, not to do anything wrong, even though no one would know about it. This Hashem saw as a good midah, and Hashem used this as a reason to elevate him l'gedulah to shepherd the most important sheep in the world, Klal Yisrael. Emma, lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nimtzeis ne'mon al hatzoin, you're faithful, ani emsar l'cho es tzoni shetire oisam. V'chsiv, it says, v'im Hashem l'cho, ata siris ami es Yisrael, the government, and the Medrash goes on, I don't have it in front of me, it says something similar about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was also a shepherd, and he had also ma'atzon, he took him out to the Midbar, and therefore he became the shepherd of Klal Yisrael. Let's go to Pasuk Dal. V'ilach David l'chol Yisrael Yerushalayim. He of us. David now goes to Yerushalayim. Now, when David became Melech, now the first thing David does is he conquers Yerushalayim. This was the first matter of state business. Yerushalayim was never conquered all of this time. It's now almost 440 years since Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Yerushalayim has still not been conquered. it's still under the control, the authority of the Polishtim. Specifically, the family called Yevus. The Mepharshim says that the Yevus is not the same as the Yevusi. We know that one of the seven nations of Canaan is called the Yevusim. But the Yevus is not necessarily a nation. It's a family which happened to own Yerushalayim. Now, why did the Klal Yisrael during the 7 years of Kibush and Chiluk not conquer Yerushalayim? It's because Avraham made a shvua to Avimelech. We learned this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, that Avraham met Avimelech and they made a shvua. That is the first or the second day. I don't remember the first or the second day.
First day,
they made a shvua that I didn't cause you harm. I let you go, and therefore I don't want you to harm my descendants. And Avraham, he swore, he made a shvuah, and they said a matzevah as a sign that Avraham's descendants will not attack or conquer property that belonged to the Polishtim, specifically the descendants of Avimelech. Yevus was a descendant of Avimelech, and there was a shvuah. And Klal Yisrael were obligated to keep, observe this Shvuah for seven generations. I don't know the exact numbers, for a certain period of time. Now it expired. The Shvuah has expired, and now came the time when David was allowed to conquer the Yerushalayim. It wasn't that until now it was a fortress. They were so powerful that they were not able to physically conquer. That's not so. They were able to conquer Yerushalayim. It's just that it was not ethical to do so because of the Shvuah, but now that Shvuah has expired. So they went to Yevus, Shema Yevusi, and there in Yevus was the Yevusi. The Yevusi were living. So Yevusi, again, does not necessarily mean the nation. It means the Yerushalmi. And Yerushalayim. And someone who lives in Yerushalayim is called a Yerushalmi. So Yevus is the name of the city, and the people that live in Yevus are a Yevusi, like a Yerushalmi, Dika person. What?
But they were part of that nation.
I don't know. It's not clear. I don't know this. One of the Canaan nations. Okay, I don't know the source, but for some reason, there are other sources which I don't have in front of me that indicate that Yerushalayim was not part of Yevus. Yevus was conquered, they were wiped out. So who is Yevus? It means a family. There was a family that happened to have the name Yevus, which was a coincidence that it's the same name as the nation called Yevus. The people that lived inside were called Yevusi. They were living there. Let me say one more time. Pasuk Gidal Vayelech David V'chol Yisrael Yerushalayim. He Yevus. Yerushalayim at this point in time was not yet known as Yerushalayim. It was known as Yevus. V'sham there ha-Yevusi. Yosh Haaretz, they were living there in the land. Pasuk Hey. Vayomu Yoshua Yevus to David. Lo Savoheina. They told David, don't you dare come here. Because there is a Shavua. You have to honor the Shavua of your forefathers of Avraham who made a shvua to Avimelech, but he will not conquer this land. But the truth is that it was only Lenini. What?
Avimelech is Plishtim.
So the Plishtim, they took possession of Yerushalayim. That's what it says. I'll read you the Psukim soon in Shmuel. But there was a shvua that was made between Avraham and Avimelech,
yes,
and that included Yerushalayim, but it was only for a certain number of generations. Lenini ulenechti. It says in the Pasuk, what's the exact Pasuk?
Lenini ulenechti tachesed asher osisi imchot haseim odi v'aretzak yishagart
abo. So lenini ulenechti. From those two words, lenini ulenechti, there's a time limit. Chazal have some time limit. And now the time has expired. It's coincidental that when David becomes Melech, at that moment in time, then the Shavua has expired, and now David, now the promise that Hashem said, I'm going to give Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, has to be realized, and you can go and conquer this land. But the people were not willing to give it up. And they said, don't you dare come here, lo savohena, vayilko David es mitzudas tzion. Okay, that's the famous parish over here. Mitzudas tzion. And David captured the fortress of Tzion, he, Ir David. And from that point on, it was called Ir David. He named it Ir David. Vayomer David. David, in part of this battle, he said, kol make yevusi, barishayna, yiyel erosh ulasur. Anyone that will lead the battle and will succeed in conquering the city of Yevusi, I will reward him by being a Rosh, a leader, and Ulasar, a prince. Now this means sar is a word which is used in the army, at least in ancient times. If you were a general in the army, you were called a sar. If you were a politician, you were called a rosh. So the way the Mefarshim explained this pasuk is, let's say a general will conquer the city. So he already is a sar. So what am I giving him? He already has the title sar. In that instance, I'll make him a rosh. If a politician will conquer the city, who is already a rosh, then I'll also give him control of people, he'll become a sar. Whatever you're missing in life, I will supply. If you're already a sar, you'll become a rosh. If you're already a rosh, you'll become a sar. That's why he used these two terms. And indeed, who's the one that succeeded? Yoav. Yoav was already a sar. He already was a general. So now after becoming the general, so David made him a politician. He made him in charge of the people living in Yerushalayim.
That's an interesting point about you being Yerushalayim. I think from the way I read it, that it was sort of like an olive branch to the people of Halat Shol, because what is Yerushalayim? It was the land of Yehuda,
yeah,
and Binyamin. So from Shol, so yeah, in other words, it was the capital now was going to be
both
a combination
of Binyamin,
sort
and
sort of like an olive branch.
Very nice, very nice. Because Yerushalayim is divided between two shvatim, Yehuda, Yehuda and Binyamin,
and Yehuda and David.
David is showing respect for Shaul, for the old king, by incorporating his malchus in his territory. That way, he's uniting the old malchus with his malchus. Vayal Dorishana Yoav ben Tzruya. Tzruya was David's sister. We know that from the Yichus. David had a sister whose name was Tzruya. David had seven brothers and at least one sister. Tzruya was a sister, and Tzruya had a son, his name was Yoav. Yoav was David's right-hand man for most of his life, until the end, when there was a fallout at the end. Yoav ben Tzruya, vayihi l'rosh, and indeed he succeeded. He already was a sar. So what could David give him? David promised a rosh ul sar. But Yoav was already a sar, or a sar. He already was a prince. He already was a general. So David was true to his word. He made him into a rosh, into a politician, meaning that he had control over the people in the city. Vayeshev David bam tzot. David lived in the fortress. The word bam tzot, according to most, is a shortened version of the word mitsuda. There's a beautiful Malbum. The art scroll, he brings this out. Malbum says there's a difference between a mitsuda and a mitzot. A mitsuda with a hay is a man-built fortress. A matzod is a natural fortress. Sometimes Hashem, in His wonders, He builds. There are rocks, there are mountains, there are stones, there are natural fortresses that are built into nature. That's called a matzod. When it's built by human beings with labor, they bring in stone, they quarry, and they do things to build a structure to protect themselves, that's called a mitsuda. So the city was fortified by the Yevusim and was called a mitsuda. It was conquered. The mitsudas tzion. It was conquered. But now David didn't live in the part that was conquered. David lived in the natural part of the city that was a natural fortress called the matzbam tzot. Al Kain Karlo Ir David, they called this Ir David. David lived with David called Ir David. Even though Ir Misaviv, David built up the city, Min Hamilo V'Ad Hasaviv. Now, what does this mean? This is one. Yoav Yichayeh Eshor Ir. Yoav gave life. It's a beautiful expression. The Mitzuda says to borrow. What do you give life? It means you revigorate. You revigorate. You bring life. He was a good mayor. The best comment you can give the mayor is that he gave life to the city. How do you give life to the city? You bring in business, you bring in tourists, you bring your healthy economy, and people live there and they're healthy and they have what to eat, there's a good jobs, everything. That comes from it. Yechayeh, I think it's probably one very rare expression. Revived. Yechayeh eshar hu'ir, the remainder of the city. Now what does it mean that David went and he built the city from even a misaviv around, min hamilo v'ad hasaviv. This simply means that David built the perimeter. The city was now rebuilt by two people, David and Yoav. David took care of the outside. Yoav took care of the inside. It's very interesting that Nehemiah, what did he do? Nehemiah, the walls, the outside, the perimeter. The saviv means the outside. What part of the outside? Everything about the outside. The milo, there are many translations for this word. Some translate this to the moat. Like you see in the ancient cities, there's a moat around the city.
Around the castle.
So it could be they had a moat around the city. I don't know. Today there's no moat around Yerushalayim. I don't know what that means.
I don't think
they
ever had a moat.
But some learn. I have no idea what this means. Some learn there was some type. Others learn, no, milo means an open area. Mm-hmm. It means a milo to fill up. When people, they would have parades or public demonstrations, they go out into the town square. So today the town square is normally in the center of the city. In ancient times, the milo, the place where you fill up, a lashon of mole, where people would fill up and come together to do things, to get together, was on the outskirts of the city. So right from the outskirts all the way to the wall that went all the way around was taken care of David. That was David's responsibility to see to it. A wall was there and the outside of the city was properly taken care of. And David gave life, Sha'or here, what was inside of the city. Pasuk Tes, V'yelech David holoch v'gadol. David was succeeded. V'Hashem tzivakos im Hashem was with him. Let's look at some of the Mitzvahs and Rashi and then we'll stop. Pasuk The reason why the city was called Yevusi was because it was never conquered by the people of Yerushalayim and the people of Binyamin. The people of Yevusi, they warned David, don't you dare try to conquer us. You'll not be able to conquer because it's very strong. They said that, don't even try. Our city is fortified. And don't even try to do battle with us. Mitsudas Tzion, it was the fortress, and it was called the Mitsuda of Tzion. Tzion. Sham Mivtsar Chazak, Samuch L'Maklilus. There was a very strong fortress near Yevus. Now, I don't know what this means. It says it's called Tzion. We normally, today, we always take the word Tzion and use it in reference to holiness. Tzion is, there are two words for Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim and Tzion. We always associate Tzion with the spiritual nature of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim more or less refers to the brick and stone, the physical aspect of the city, and Tzion refers to the spiritual power of the city.
But we frequently, as soon as we say this,
it's a holy city, right? But when you contrast, right, it's not absolute. There are many, many in Tanakh, who knows, maybe 100 times, maybe more, how many times you contrast Tzion and Yerushalayim. There are many approaches to explain the exact difference between the two. But Tzion generally is a holy word. And here we're using the word Tzion at a point where it was not yet under the control of Klal Yisrael. So you would think that they gave it the name Tzion after it was conquered, not before it was conquered. Yet that's not what it says here. It says here, Vayilko David es mitzudas Tzion. Does that mean to say that it was called Tzion even before it was conquered? It was recognized as a place of holiness even when it was occupied by the Yevusim? Maybe. Are we referring to this in hindsight after it was conquered and then it became called Tzion? So now when we want to look back and refer to it, we use a term that has been given, that has been applied to it at a later point in time. Or maybe it was called Tzion even by the people that lived there from previous times. I don't know the answer, just interesting point. Al-Shema Asid, right, that's one of the approaches. Is that what it means? I don't know. Let's go further. He Ir David, Li'achazed Nikra Shema Ir David. After it was conquered, it was called Ir David. Pasuk Vav in the Mitzudos, it says that who was living there, Vayal Barishayna Yoyav. Yoyav was the one that took up David's offer and went into battle against Yevusi. It was a very great battle, a very great risk of his putting his life on the line to do battle. This is discussed in much greater detail in Sefer Shmuel, which we'll get to a little bit later, probably not today because we're not going to have time, but we're showing the Lalis, but Muhammad Tehillah HaKos bumped to go to battle, Min Hamilo, then, and they succeeded. After they succeeded in conquering Yerushalayim, the city was built, was rebuilt, was refurbished. By who? By two people, David and Yoav. Yoav took care of the inside, David took care of the outside. What was the outside? The Milo. What is the Milo according to the Mitzudos? Samuch l'hachoyme, Hiniach Mokoim Ponu Lihios Muchon Lehe Osef Sham Marbis Anoshim. Near the wall on the outside, he left a place open for people to gather. Bechein Karu Milo, and it was called Milo. Umin Hamilo Velufnim Bone Botim Saviv, and from within the Milo, he built homes. So it could be that the word Milo means inside the wall. The wall was on the extreme perimeter. After the wall was built, then there was an open area, and after the open area, then is where the homes were first built. So it appears the Milo, I'm assuming, was inside the wall, not outside the wall.
It sounds like David was in charge like physical and defense, as opposed to Yoav was in charge like commerce.
Correct.
And
yeah. Minister of the economy. He was the mayor. Yoav was the mayor. Was the mayor, and David was in charge of security. That's what a king does. A king's right. primary role is war. Ancient times, security, and the security was to build a wall on the around the perimeter of the city. The reason why he repeats the word saviv twice to emphasize that David did a complete job. Yichayeh, and it says here that Yoav, he gave life to the city. What does that mean? Hoyo mechazek bitke sh'or ho'ir b'choymos u migdolim. He was mechazek, the other mechazek, I don't know what that word means. Bitke sh'or, I don't know what it means. The other parts of the city with the wall, with walls and towers, pasuk tes, David was successful. Holoch v'gadol. That's the best thing you can say about a person. It's the best thing you can say, a compliment that a person is an ish matzliach. A successful person means you're growing. Maybe, you're growing your business.
Maybe it means like from the word dot. Maybe it means he reinforced thinner kind of
small things.
Structures
David built the big walls and he built the small walls. He was holoch v'gadol b'chol eis niskadel yosar. And every moment,
smaller structures versus
the bigger structures. Okay, the bedek habayis. He's saying it means bedek. The bedek habayis means the upkeep. The bidke. He's saying was the bedek habayis, the upkeep of the city. Holoch v'gadol b'chol eis niskadel yosar. Every moment he became bigger. He was very successful. Okay, there's a lot more going on. We'll do the Rashi's tomorrow. And I want to do with you a couple of psukim in Sefer Shmuel, which tells us more details about the Shavua between Avimelech and Avraham, and why they were not able to conquer Yerushalayim until this point in time. Okay, we'll stop.